Little Fish in a Big Pond. Dean Thompson.
So, I was a Boy Scout. And I was in Scouts until I was 18 years old, I was in Scouts. And I never made it to Eagle. I was not an Eagle Scout. I wasn't really in it for the merit badges and the advancement. I was in it for the trips, for going out on outings. That's what I was into. And we had a very active troop. And we would go backpacking in the San Gabriel Mountains. We would bike trips. We do canoe trips down the lower Colorado River on Easter vacation. We would go up to the Sierra summer camps up there, summer camps over in Catalina Island. We did week-long backpacks up in the Sierra Nevada. One summer, we went to New Mexico, went to Philmont Boy Scout Ranch, spent about 10 days over there. Went up to Olympic. Last summer I was there, we went up to Olympic National Park to climb Mount Olympus. Very active troop. One of the really cool trips we did one time was on Easter vacation, we went to the lower Colorado River for a raft trip. And the lower Colorado River is a flatwater river. And we drove the bus there, and we got off the bus, and when they were unloading the bus, we didn't see any rafts. Instead, we saw big truck inner tubes that they unloaded, and 2x4s and plywood. Now, I think back on this, and it's probably something we couldn't even do today, because liability and lawsuits and stuff, they probably wouldn't even allow you to do this, but basically what we were to do was to build our own rafts. And we, you know, the scout leaders, they built their prototype, and then we saw what they did, and we had to mimic that, and we lashed our truck inner tubes underneath the plywood 2x4 construction and launched it. And every patrol had their own raft, and I would say most of the rafts the first day were about that far underwater as we drifted down the Colorado River. But ours was about that far above the water. And we, as the days went on, we actually figured out better ways to lash the tires, and it was a great learning experience. I learned so much in Scouts. It was a wonderful thing. It really shaped where I went in my life, and it was just such a wonderful experience for me. But it didn't start that way. When I first joined Scouts, we had a pretty big troop. It was a troop of anywhere to 40 to 50 boys at one point. It was a very large troop, and me as a little kid coming in there, I definitely felt like a little fish in a big pond. I mean, I was nervous. I was kind of, you know, just kind of hung out around the edges, didn't venture out into the crowd or anything. And there was a couple of things that really made me nervous. One of the things that made me nervous as a little 12-year-old, I mean, there's like high school kids in this troop and everything, but one of the things that made me nervous was the thing that young kids, the first scouts, you had to undergo initiation. Now, to this day, I don't even know what initiation was. I don't even know what it was, but it was this, you were going to get initiated. You know, it's like, oh, what does that mean? You're going to get dogpiled, okay? Or you're going to be at summer camp and they're going to steal your clothes from the shower and you'll have to walk naked back to camp. Or you know, they're going to take your sleeping bag and pack it full of snow or something. There's always this horrible thing. You know, one time there was a kid that came in from outside. He was crying, oh, yeah, he got initiated. And so I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen to me, you know? And so that weighed on me, right? And the other thing that weighed on me was the fact that when we would go on outings, I got homesick. I was homesick. And I deal with homesickness now with kids that I work with out where I work with at the camp. And when I get kids that are homesick and they're sitting there, and it always starts at dusk, you know? It starts at dusk, it's starting to get dark, and they come up to you, they're like, oh, my stomach hurts, I got a headache, I don't really feel good. And so you take their temperature and you look at them, and after a while you're like, are you homesick? And sometimes they'll admit it, and other times they won't. And when I find out that they are homesick, I always tell them they're lucky. And they always look at me like kind of puzzled. Why do I feel crappy? Why are you saying I'm lucky? I say, you're lucky because you got a great home. That's why you're sick. You got parents that love you. You got a great place to be. You know, I said, the kids I worry about, and we've had a few of these, is when it comes Thursday, Friday, they start shutting down and they start getting homes and they start getting feeling bad because they're going back to a place that isn't so great. Well, I didn't have that, you know, that little mentor with me. Instead, I just suffered with it, and I just dealt with my homesickness. And if, you know, I'd be fine during the day, but around dusk, you know, I go into my sleeping bag, and we didn't have tents, but we didn't really sleep in tents back then. It was just out on the ground. We had tube tents, so if it got really bad, you just string up a line through there and crawl under your tube of plastic and hope that holds. And I just lay there on my tube tent looking up at the sky, and I just, pretty soon, I just cover my head with a sleeping bag and cry myself to sleep. But then the next morning I wake up and I feel all happy because I made it through the night and the big scary bears and the stuff out in the woods didn't get me and I was okay and I made it through another night. I was cool. And so it was this roller coaster of emotions every time I would go out on these backpacking trips or any kind of trips. And it was that way for about a year and a half until, like, late in my second year, our troop decided to climb Mount Whitney. And Mount Whitney is the tallest peak in the continental United States, 14,495 feet tall. And we left LA, drove up from the LA area on Friday, and up through the Owens Valley, through Lone Pine, and up to Whitney Portal, which is about 10,000 feet. And we arrived at Whitney Portal right about dusk at my high anxiety time. We get there and everybody's getting all their stuff and it's going to be this major climb up to high elevation mountain, and there were like clouds looming over the Sierra Crest. There's little bits of rain coming down. I'm like, great, we're going to get wet. I'm not going to be able to get my tube tent up. Then they might be initiating me. I don't know. It was anxiety, you know, and we went out into the woods for about a mile, and then we went off to the side of the trail and we camped. And this was back in the days when you didn't have to have a waiting list to climb up Mount Whitney. You just, you know, show up and go. And so the next day we hiked up to trail camp, base camp, and base camp's at 12,000 feet. And so we got there, you're above timberline, we set up our camp, and it's like a moonscape up there. It's just, you know, granite dust, a little bit scraggly grass and rocks is all it is. And so we slept there, we set up our camp, and when I went to bed that night, I was really full of anxiety for a variety of reasons, but also I knew that the following day was a big day, because the following day we were supposed to get up at 3:30 in the morning and get going before light, climb up 5 miles up to the top of the summit, come back down, pick up our packs, walk back to the cars, and then drive back to LA. So it was going to be a 16-mile hike and a lot of elevation gain. And we had to start in the dark. And so this was not something that really fired me up, okay? So I was laying in bed, and I could hear, you know, around 3:30 in the morning, I hear my scoutmaster getting up, waking the kids up, and he walks by me. He's like, okay, Dean, come on, you know, wake up. And I didn't say a word. I just laid there pretending I was asleep, you know, and I was kind of sniffling because I realized what I'm going to have to do. And then he comes back by. He's like, come on, Thompson, get up, let's go. And I'm laying there, and I'm kind of sniffling and kind of not sobbing, but just kind of. And finally, he's like, Thompson, you going to get up? I go, no, I don't want to do it. And I figured there was another kid that was staying back. He was altitude sick, so maybe I was altitude sick too. Maybe that would be my excuse or whatever, you know. But I think at this point, my scoutmaster had had enough. And he did something that probably nowadays educational professionals would probably frown upon. And they would think that this was a poor demonstration, and maybe it might have damaged my self-esteem or something. I don't know. But basically, in a voice loud enough for everybody to hear, he said, Thompson, are you just going to lay there and cry? Is that what you're going to do? You hike all the way up here to lie in your bag and cry like a little baby for your mommy? Is that what you're going to do? Fine. Do it. And he walked off. Now, after a reaming like that, I couldn't very well lay in my bed and cry, okay? To maintain any sort of self-respect, I had to get up. And so I got up, I ate my oatmeal, and I ate the food and packed my pack and got my flashlight, and we hit the trail. And we left following the flashlight, crossing the creek, going up the trail. And after you leave trail camp, you get to this part where all of a sudden there's this spot where there's 99 switchbacks, literally 99 switchbacks winding up this hill. And you gain elevation of about 1,700 feet in these 99 switchbacks. And as I was going up these switchbacks, the first thing I noticed is that I wasn't the last guy in line. There were other people that were doing worse than me. And I was, you know, I was not one, and they were older than me. So I felt kind of good. Okay, so I'm doing better than that. And I kept going, and I was counting the switchbacks as we were going up. And I got a little bit further, and then the light started rising, and I could see where we had been and how high I was already. And then when the sunlight hit that Sierra Crest, and I could see that glow on the peaks, it kind of buoyed me up a little bit more, and we crossed the snowfield. And then I could see that I was like I was up in the 80s right now, so I was like, okay, I'm getting up there. And then finally I got the last switchback and got up to the Sierra Crest, and I was looking down on the west side of the Sierra, and I could see lakes below me, and I felt a little bit better. Now there were people actually coming down from the peak at this point. They had been up there early, and they're like, hey, you're doing good, you know, you only got a couple miles to go. And it was, there was only 2 miles left and 800 feet of elevation gain. But I'll tell you what, when you start hiking anywhere above 13,000 feet, oxygen's scarce up there. And you kind of move in slow motion, and you just keep going, and you can hear your pulse thumping in your temples as you're walking, and you just keep, there's no trail, it's just rocks that you're going over, and you're following these rock cairns as you make your way up to the top. And I'd pass a couple of windows, and when you would talk, the noise up there at high elevations, it's just almost sounds like you're in a soundproof room, and the sky is this just impossible cobalt blue when you're up there, and you just keep going, and I kept plodding away, and all of a sudden I rounded the bend, and I could see there was a bunch of people, and it was the top, it was the summit, and I got up to the top of Mount Whitney, and there was a house up there. They had this big building. I got the Smithsonian built this big stone building up on top of Mount Whitney, and there were some older scouts that actually spent the night up there. And so I got up there, and I made it. I was up there, and I signed the guest register, and I sat down and drank my water and ate some gorp. And I was sitting there, and my scoutmaster came up to me and said, hey, Dean, good job. Glad you made it. How do you feel now? And I looked at him, and I said, all right. I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of knowing that I actually felt pretty damn good, okay? And when I went down that hill, I was elated. I had done it. I had conquered this mountain, and not just physically but mentally, because after that day, I never got homesick again. It just didn't happen. And I think something happened. I realized that if I could climb up to the tallest point up there, I could do anything. And I like to think that that little fish got a little bit bigger and the pond just got a little bit smaller that day. Thank you.